Kimmerer Lamothe is a dancer, philosopher, and scholar of religion. She loves to dance every day, feeling that it is vital for her well-being. And when she scans the landscape of human life, she sees dance everywhere in the earliest human art, the oldest forms of culture, and in every culture around the world into the present. But, she says, in the maps of and for human life that comprise the philosophy, theology, and religious studies of the modern West, dance occupies a surprisingly small space. So she has explored that in her new book, Why We Dance, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Kimmerer Lamothe to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me, Joe. It's a pleasure to be here.
Very nice to have you with us. The subtitle of the book, A Philosophy of Bodily Becoming. What does that mean?
Bodily becoming is the idea that we humans are not minds who live in bodies that are things, but we are bodies, and the bodies that we are moving constantly. And that movement that our bodies are is not just as if we were an object who is moving, but it's the movement of our own becoming. So in everything we do in our lives, we're making patterns of movement, and those patterns of movement that we are making are becoming us. They're educating our senses. They're opening us up to possibilities of thought and feeling and action. And so in every moment of our lives, the movements that we are making us. That's the key to bodily becoming. I am the movement that's making me.
Okay. So does that have to then be dance?
Well, part of what I'm trying to do in this book is redefine how we understand dance. Because as your intro sort of alluded, we have a particularly kind of skewed notion of dance in our Western culture. And what I've been trying to do is try to retell the story of what it means to be a human being, putting dance at the center so that we understand that dance is a way of being a bodily self that is essential to becoming human, that we would not be who we are as humans without having danced.
And that is either us individually now or as a culture and as a society and as a species prior.
Yes, exactly. And part of what there's just so much interesting work going on right now across fields that is discovering the importance of dance in particular and movement in general to our development as human beings. And part of what I do in this book is connect the dots. So I do look at evolutionary theory.
Right.
And where in the evolution of the human species did dance come in and what role did it play? And I look at the development in an infant as well. For example, most toddlers dance before they speak. They respond to movement and they create their movement patterns before they can even think of themselves as being an I. And what role does that play in our development?
Mm.
So I try to connect the dots to have a much richer picture.
You make the point in the book that we rarely consider dancing as vital to human life. So in the book, how did you ultimately decide to address and to approach the problem?
I decided, and part of it had to do with the research that I did while I was pursuing a doctorate in religious studies and looking at those sort of texts of theology and philosophy and understanding how in Western culture we have this common sense notion of ourselves as being minds that live in bodies, as we identify our I with our capacity to think, and our process of becoming a human being means a process of cultivating and developing that capacity to think and then make good decisions about what to do with our bodies. And I realized that way of thinking about it itself already stacks the deck away from dance, because dance then is one activity among others that you need to be able to have a good reason in order to do. So I wanted to sort of start at the beginning and say, wait a minute, what if we think of our human selves not as minds and bodies, but as movement, as essentially movement, and as that movement being this rhythm of bodily becoming, which is generating our capacity to think and feel it all. Then when we move, so in the book, what I try to do is I try to take these tenets from the mind-body paradigm, you might say. And I try to tell really a number of different stories about what it means to be a human being, where we're not minds over bodies, but we are movement, essentially movement, generating and creating ourselves through movement.
You talk about children and this need to dance, and but then you write in the book about really a bias that we have in our Western culture toward dance, and I was fascinated by how multifaceted that bias is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's part of what I wanted to do by telling the story in several different ways, is to flesh it out. And you know, and a lot of it comes down, I mean, modern Western culture is so powerful, and the ways we have of training ourselves to be humans are so powerful. And many of them are rooted in these practices of reading and writing that we learn, you know, we start in kindergarten. We train ourselves to sit. We train ourselves to think while sitting. And we come to believe that sitting is actually one of the best ways in getting our minds to be maximally educated and flexible. And so this... So we have this capacity to train ourselves to act and feel and think as if we were really minds and bodies. And part of what I wanted to do was say, and that finds expression in all aspects of our life. And so by taking it back to bodily movement and our practices, we're able to both look at how reading and writing educate our senses and think about other ways that are necessary to educate our senses in order to make sure that the things that we're thinking and feeling and the ways in which we're acting are actually accountable to the very bodily selves that are doing that work.
Let me ask you a question, because you've used the word thinking a few times, and I'm interested in, because what you are talking about, while it seems that dance is perhaps, as you indicated, is in us, mm-hmm. is ingrained within who we are as human beings, and yet... because many of the concepts that you have just described are complex, and mm-hmm. they're very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And I will admit that in reading the book, I had to go back a couple of times because I was like, "Oh, okay, now where? What?
Right.
Okay." So my question is, how do we then? We have to think about this a lot consciously. Then I assume you are prescribing us to do. Because unconsciously ain't working.
Right. That's a very good point and question. And part of what we do have to think consciously about it, because we have to be aware that our thinking has a history, and that thinking has developed through years of our making particular bodily movements. And so now... one way I like to think about it is that so much of our culture trains us to move upward, up into our minds, up into our brains, and to be thinking in abstract ways. And part of what we need to do in our lives to maintain our health is to balance that movement upward with the movement downward. So we need to take our thinking power, and we need to allow it to come back into our bodily selves, through our bodily selves, and open up to what it is that we're creating as we make those movements.
And that creation can be anything, right?
Yes. I mean, I think human beings are inherently creative. And I believe that creativity is a sensory creativity. It happens in every moment based on how we're sensing and how we're responding. And I think if you look at how our senses work, our senses are fundamentally movement. Every sense, in order to sense, there's a movement that happens. And it's a movement of receiving and responding.
You make the point, so you ask the question in the book, why we dance, and each chapter of the book answers, you know, looks at a different reason of as to why we dance, to matter, to evolve, to know, to be born, to connect, to heal, and to love. And with that said, a lot of overlap there, too.
Yes. I like to think that the argument spirals through the chapters so that it returns to certain themes but then advances them. And I'd also like to point out, in relation also to your question about thinking, that part of what I felt I needed to do in order to write this book is make sure that I stayed connected with my own bodily self so that my thinking was accountable to that very movement and dance that I was talking about. So every chapter of the book is framed with an experience that enacts the ideas that I'm trying to develop in the book. So what I'm trying to show is how even the ideas that we have, as complex as they may be, they all come out of the movements that we're making in our bodily selves, and then they feed back into the possibilities for movement that are open to us one moment to the next.
I think you mentioned at the beginning of the book that you wrote this, you're on a farm.
Yes.
And you're out in the open, and you're,
yes.
And you're writing this. Does that mean... Is it easier for you to do that and to explore these ideas and to dance in that open space than it would be somebody in a studio apartment on the Upper West Side?
It is for me. So 10 years ago, my partner and I and our three children at the time moved to this farm in Hebron, New York.
Yeah.
And it was with the intention of putting ourselves in a place where our art would be in closer proximity to the natural world, which would open our senses and bring us closer to the ways in which the natural world moves us, because we've both felt that as a source of our art. And I do not feel like this book could have been written anywhere else. I have five children now. We milk cows. We have horses, chickens. We have 96 beautiful acres. And that land calls to me. It calls me. I walk on it. I take care of it. And that opens my senses in ways which have made me appreciate the power of movement.
Don't you think Washington County just makes you want to dance, though?
Yes.
I mean, as a resident of the county myself, it just seems that's sort of how you feel when you're there.
Right. And that's kind of what I want people to discover when they pick up this book. It's not necessarily to take them to a ballet class, but just to get in touch with that sort of primal joy humans have when they're inspired by something or someone to move in a new way. That, I feel, is the kernel of what dance is.
What do you think is, and we'll end with this, but what do you think the if you had to give a state of bodily becoming
right.
Report. How do you feel we're doing, and are you optimistic that we can embrace this?
I think a lot of good work is being done across topics or issues. For example, there are people telling us we need to connect with nature. There are people telling us we need to have a good diet. There are people who are telling us we need to eat locally and support our agricultural systems. There are people telling us we need to relate to other people in our lives in ways that are going to be nourishing and generate love. And part of what I wanted to do is I wanted to say all of these things are connected, and they're connected by dance, by this essential rhythm of bodily becoming that we are. So I do have a lot of hope, and I also feel like we have some way to go.
The name of the book is Why We Dance, A Philosophy of Bodily Becoming. It is by Kimmerer Lamote. It is published by Columbia University Press, and it's a beautiful book. Kimmerer, I thank you so much for coming in and talking to us about it.
Thank you for having me.
And
I appreciate it.
And best of luck in your work.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.